Need to bring the message, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he's not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Today I want us to think about life at its best. And I was thinking over the period of time I was there, just hundreds of people are going through everything they can just to hold on to a little bit of life. And we as Christians, we're God's children. And God has an abundant life for us. But I want to show you this morning how we cheat ourselves. Now today, we can find that everybody wants a ticket to heaven, don't they? I've never known anyone didn't want to go to heaven. One day, a pastor asked the children, he says, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" All but one little boy raised his hand. Preacher said, "Well, why, son?" He said, "Because my mother told me to come home after church." We all want to go to heaven, folks. But I want to help you as the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Romans there. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. God blesses us and makes it available of abundance. When we look in the vocabulary of God, we find abundance, not a little bit, not a tip. And we find that he is saying here, this passage, Paul is helping deal with the theology and the moral life. You see the fact he goes on and says, you know, "Yeah, I know. But I'm trying to convey to you the converted Jews and the Gentiles. There is a life at its best when we're in Jesus Christ, our living Lord." Now, what does that mean? First of all, it says right here, many, we're only concerned with spiritual part. I was watching television yesterday, and they talk about these ancient astros or ancient people coming here. And the guy said he ran upon a wreck, and he didn't stop. He just went by and took a picture. Later on, he had it developed, and there was a white-looking image above that. You know what they said? We come to the conclusion that, you know, when the body dies, the spirit goes. I don't know how they had to study that. I don't know how they had to wait to find out, because the Bible says it. The spirit is the real us. This body is flesh. And yet we will feel the flesh and feed the flesh and elect the spirit. So we can find, first of all, I want you to notice the character of consecration. Paul said, it's voluntary. God ain't gonna make you do it. Many times people are just waiting for a tragedy. I didn't wait till I had a tragedy serving God. I served God way before. And you know what? I'm gonna serve God way after, even if it don't come out right. But you see, it ain't a religious movement. It's God's way of life, folks. God ain't going to make you do anything. People said, "Well, he makes me..." No, he ain't going to make you do nothing. In the same token, people ask the question, if there's a loving God, He won't send me to hell. No, God has never sent a person to hell, and he never will. But you sure can choose to go there. Now, that's not a religious movement. That's not some kind of faith or cult. That's the Word of God, the one who created heaven and earth. And then they took the dust of the earth, and he created us. And we were still nothing but clay. But the Scripture said he breathed into our nostrils. We became a living soul. We got this thing wrong. Grandma and Grandpa made me do it. Mom and Daddy makes you do it. No, they don't. They may try. But you can't make nobody do nothing. But if you enjoy the crumbs from the table rather than eating the feast on the table, go ahead. But when we come to know Christ, we present our bodies freely, voluntarily. You see, the fact is, you can do what you want to do. That's what so people can't understand. It's so simple. You don't have to be a chemist to try to figure out the difference between flesh and spirit. You don't have to wait somebody does so a way off study and contribute to aliens from outer space. Voluntary. That's the temple term in Greek used as yield. Yield your bodies. And by the way, it says, I beseech you. It says he begs us. He pleads with us. Now when we feel that tug at our heart and we know when we are all alone, we're not just because going with the flow. But when you're all alone, you know that your heart is yearning and he's begging you to come to follow him. Now, we want life at its best, don't we? Many times we think it's because of our job. The more money you have, the better life we have. Folks, I had some friends, multimillionaires, the most miserable people in all the world. Money will never satisfy. The more you get, the more you're going to want. Bigger house you get, you're going to get a bigger one because your neighbor's got a little bigger one. I'm going to drive this car because everybody knows this is a expensive car. He's saying, yield. Present yourself voluntarily. Complete. He didn't say, just come and surrender your spirit to me. Present your whole self. God not only considers interest in our spirit, he wants us to be blessed. And so many times we live a life, we blame it on somebody else, and we use it. I'm not going to get caught up in all that old fogey, old time religion. That's your choice. You know, I never asked a person to join the church. I'll lead them to Christ. But if God led you here, nobody should take you away. I could write on a book on excuses why people go from church to church. You know why? Same person leaves. Same person they have a problem with is themselves, and they take it with them. And they go over there, they go have trouble because they still the same person. Saying, present your bodies. I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ to give your whole self to Christ. Now notice he says, living sacrifice. Now, I've had people over the years say, oh, I love Jesus, the more I die for him. He don't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. God gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe and confess with their and believe in their heart shall be saved. God gave His only Son as a sacrifice. But you see, He said a sacrifice, but He said living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, there was animal sacrifice. You done something wrong. You just go to the temple and you get the priest to burn animals to forgive you. This is a strange thing. Here Paul is speaking to these Jews. He's speaking to the people who thought that animals is the answer. Paul is saying, listen, present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants us to live for Him, folks. It ain't what your husband wants. It's not what your wife wants. It's not what your dad and mom wants. It's you. And folks, I can tell you that when you strip everything away, you're there. Either you're serving and choosing to serve the Savior, or you're lost and headed to eternity. That's not a scary thing. That's telling what the Bible teaches. Now what they've done is, and over the period of time, we have those that treat, they go and translate different denominations. Many today would have them to take the blood and the crucifixion out of the Bible. They want us to believe philosophy. It ain't philosophy. It's God's way of life, folks. I don't care how educated. I don't care how rich or how poor. You see, the fact the rich person will go to hell. The wealthy, the educated. You know, I've got education, but I tell you what, I'd rather be dumb as a rock and have Jesus Christ as my Savior. That have all the degrees all the world. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's what's going on in churches today. That's what's going on in our denominations. You know why? That's the reason people ain't getting saved. Just come on, be one of us. And I tell you, one of us is not good enough. We don't have any power. People are starving to death. They go to bed, and I remember what it means to go to bed lost and not knowing. Would you wake up? If you did, you'd wake up in hell. That's not a scary story. That's the fact, folks. He said not only living sacrifice, He said holy and acceptable to the will of God. I was over in the emergency room when my son was about 4 years old. He had all the time had real infection in his ears and throat. We said, here come a guy in the emergency room at night, and he'd ripped his arm through here. He'd been fighting, and he was cursing God, and I'm suffering. He wasn't suffering God, folks. Have you ever met somebody in a store? You talk to them, you don't talk to them 2 minutes, because they'll tell you an hour how everything's the matter with them. Some of them even say, oh, I'm just getting by, but I'm suffering for Jesus. No, you're not suffering for Jesus. I'm not suffering. I suffer this for Jesus. So Sunday, like I said, it's because of sin. When sin entered in, they brought pain and suffering and brought death. Don't get mad at God, because God's will that no man should perish but have eternal life. Amen, brother. God wants you to have the best. His life is at its best. Acceptable. You see, it's acceptable to the will of God. It ain't your will. It ain't my will. It's His will. Just as parents, you sacrificed. You tried to give your children more than you had. I did. I grew up on a mill village. We thought we were rich because everybody had the same. I didn't realize I got older, I was poor. Hey, one good thing I realized too, I thought because we eat gravy and biscuits and sausage and eggs and bacon or whoever what was cheapest that week, I thought we were poor. My Lord, the rich people go every Sunday, every morning, get up and go eat that. They buy it at the store. But you see, it ain't where we come from, folks. It's all about where we're going. Amen. That really counts. And I'm glad my children have degrees, and they may well. But I'd rather have them dumb as a rock and know Jesus Christ is their Savior. Because I know Jesus can offer a better rock than a degree or anything else. Now, don't misunderstand me. God wants us to be best. He wants us to do the best we can. He give us the best education. It's not wrong to be educated. And you know, in God's vocabulary, there's no such thing as welfare. Did you know that? Study it. Study it in Hebrew and the Greek too. It always, God wants us to have the abundance. We say that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We're subjects, or we're servants of the King of Kings. And we have a king, a key to go in His storehouse. Then notice, it's practical. What God is asking us is not impossible. It's practical. If Jesus Christ died on the cross, is it asking us too much to live for Him? He's not asking you to take your child, put him on the altar, and slay him and burn him as an offering. He's not asking you to do away with life. He wants you to have life at its best. It's practical. But notice the demand of concentration. Notice the negative side. Be not conformed to this world. You know, I hear people today, and I told you when I first came here, I've had pastors, they're saying, there's nothing wrong with wearing casual clothes. But as a minister, I feel that you're distracting God, and you're respecting the congregation. Coming here with a tank top, and I wear shorts and no shoes. For me, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. When I go to your bedside in your hospital room, I don't want you to be ashamed to turn and say, this is my pastor. You see, the day we're living, we're trying to be like the world, folks. Pastor today wants to be one of the good old boys. Part of the club. You see, the fact is that we're not to be conformed to this world. Jesus said, you're not of the world. Come ye out from among them, because I have chosen you. And we can't fit into the world, I can tell you, folks. When I was a top manager, we had to go to these special training things at the hotels and stuff. Had big bars set up. All you had all this time, you drank. Some of them get so drunk you couldn't stand it. Some of them dedicated Christians, but you know, they were ashamed that they put orange juice. You know what I'd do? I wouldn't drink nothing. I didn't want to think I had something in nothing. I represented a company from Sweden. And the president and the vice president and market director of the United States. We went to lunch. They'd order bourbon. I ordered chocolate milk. I did. The next day I went, and I didn't say nothing about their bourbon. Next day I went, I ordered chocolate milk. They ordered chocolate milk. How are you ever going to help the world understand you're not of the world? You're chosen by God to come out if we don't set the example, folks. How can I tell my children You can't go these places, or you can't do these things. I'm the example. They ought to be able to go anywhere we go. And they ought to be able to drink and do anything we do. That's the negative side. But notice what he said, but the positive side, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the part of the education comes in, your intelligence. You see, our education ought to help us to know who we believe and what we believe. But do you know, after high school education, the people of the faith falls way down on the charts? No. Now, I got to tell you, we have some great Christians that are highly educated. Dr. Jeffers, First Baptist Church in Dallas, that's where Henry and them went. Dr. Criswell was the pastor there one time. He's a great Christian. They put him on these things. What did he do? He tells it like it is, folks. He don't try to sugarcoat it. Be transformed by your knowledge. We ought to understand who we believe and who is Jesus. Your intellectual and your moral knowledge are to make us stronger in Christ Jesus. Now, what is the effect of this concentration we're talking about? First of all, the will of God. Now, you may disagree with me, but I'm going to give you an example. I believe everybody knows what God wants them to do. You know why? Because he don't keep it a secret. He don't hide it somewhere. Now, when we say we don't know what we're saying, we ain't decided what we want to do. I remember when I was a small boy. I remember God spoke to me for to be a preacher. I didn't want to do that. It wasn't popular. People, the kids would make me a pasteboard church. I'd tear the church down. I remember one night when I was singing with a group. I was just holding a book up there. I didn't sing with them, but they sung on Sunday night. The minister that we had, he was a retired from Brazil missionary. And one Sunday night he came to me and he said, I need to talk to you. I thought, what in the world have I done that he would know about? He took me in the side room. He said, now, Ray, you take this ever how you want it. He said, God spoke to me in a vision that you're to be in a pulpit. Now, what you do is going to be your business. But I'm doing what he told me to do, that I give you the opportunity. We ain't talking about 50 people. We're talking about 200, 300 people. Never go give a speech in church. Never made a talk in church. And I said, well, I'm going to be gone with so-and-so. And people everywhere wanted to hear him. And I said, well, you know, Brother Rogers, I love God and I love you. I want you to have that opportunity for other people to hear you. And I thought in my head, well, I got a month to get ready. But I knew God's will, folks. The main thing was doing it. Not only knowing it, doing it. And only in life, he'd give me this, and I'd say, if you give me this. I had a long list. I asked him, Lord, give me the wife that would not only be a companion, but be a fellow servant together in your work. He gave me Diane. We went together 4 years. We married 52 years. We love each other today more than we did as two young people before that preacher, because we didn't know what we know now. I knew. And when I said, Lord, here I am, just take me. He like broke my arm off, folks. Next Sunday night on, I was preaching in the big churches. They didn't want me to come everywhere. God was showing me, standing before great congregations and preaching the gospel. A man grew up on the mill hill. If you associated with the textile industry, we were looked down. We were ignorant. They called us linheads. But you know what? I'm proud. I'm a linhead. I had opportunities to stand, begin big groups. And I'm not saying this bragging. I've had them hundreds to be able to preach. Doing the will of God. When you're doing it, you know it, folks. And then, not only knowing God's will and doing it, but enjoying it. I'm going to tell you, I've had great opportunities all my life, but there's no greater joy than to stand here with you this morning. The thrill, not because of popularity, because it ain't about me and it ain't about you, it's all about Him. You see, it's not what I can get out of it, it's what I can give to Him. He's given me so much. And the joy that He gave me, that wife, and He gave us two children, a boy and a girl, so it's been a great blessing. And then these two grandchildren. You see, enjoying going and telling others about Jesus Christ. I'm not no fake, folks. When I tell you I love you, I love you in Christ. I'm not trying to put on a show for you, because I ain't going to tell you that's not me. I'm who I am. But I believe God brought us here together. I believe the devil's trying to keep everything napping. He had something to do with this, I believe. He didn't want to slow me down. He didn't want you to be able to have the opportunity to grow in Jesus Christ, folks. It ain't about me, it's not about you, it's about Him. And finally this morning, I want you to know, life at its best is voluntary. Sacrifice. It's practical. You see, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not by this world. I ask you this morning, do you want life at its best? Do you want these precious children life at its best? Oh, I'm going to get them education. I'm going to let them have the most popular clothes. I'm going to give them everything. That's not life at its best, folks. What's really life about? They know Daddy's a Christian and he lives for Jesus even when he was them. Mom's a Christian and she's a Christian to them. Paul said, it ain't to live Christian life in the temple. That's easy. Christian life's out there. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14 in the Old Testament, listen to what he said. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil way, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out more than they ever contain. Now, let me say this morning, some of us today, we'd rather eat off the crumbs on the floor than we are to go for the abundance on the table. God has abundance for you this morning. God don't want you to be a fellow as a young person. He wants the best for you. You grow up and you have these people, they're going to tell you all this stuff. They're going to tell you, my brother graduated University of South Carolina. One of the professors told him that the parables in the Bible wasn't but a story. It wasn't real. I believe the Word of God is exactly what He says. I don't have to have it printed in funny form for me to understand it. It's a spiritual book, folks. I don't care if you're not knowing Christ and you're into it, you're not going to enter it. God is here this morning, folks. And I said all this to say to you this morning, he loves you today. Young person, he wants you to have the abundance life. He wants you to have the best mate. He wants you to have the best education. He wants you to have the best they are. Young couples, let me say to you, it's not easy. I know it's not. Even older couples. It's not an easy task. But the only way you can find that abundance for you and your family is in Jesus Christ, folks. The world is hungry out there. People spent thousands of dollars to go somewhere today to try to be entertained. You know why? They're trying to suppress that hunger for righteousness. You see, the fact is, as Sammy said, we know people that are lost without Jesus Christ. They could be family members. They could be neighbors. They could be a person on your job. I can say to you this morning, you don't have to stand in church. You don't have to get up in front of the church. You don't have to be able to pray, organize prayer. But tell people what Jesus really is. It's important. He loves you today. Seniors, you know, I went into the nursing home, and they're there. I call it a death waiting room. Most of them on the way out is through death. I was taken, sit down with them, spend hours and listen to them. Some of them will tell you the same story every time you talk to them. But I listen just like I'd never heard it before. Because they're important. God wants them to have their best. He wants our church and our communities. He wants our nation. The abundance. And I believe what's really helped us as a nation to thrive the way we have is two things. Our faith in God and our mission to taking care of the Jews. It don't take no rocket scientist to figure it out, folks. And God is here this morning. God wants you to have the best relationship. He wants you to have the best life, the best family. He loves you this morning. And you know, he's not asking you to die for him. He's asking you this morning to live for him. And this morning, we're not going to sing. We're going to ask Becky to come and play. I want to stand. I want Christians praying. I want you to search your heart this morning. Not what I said, it's what the scripture says. And listen to him. If God is speaking to you, come and acknowledge your sins. All you need to say, I'm a sinner, I'm lost. I want Jesus as my Savior. Or you say, I want to deny myself and take up that cross. I want to follow him. And I want to live for him. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not one of these kind of sportsmen that you got to say how you feel. They don't need to say other than, I need you, Jesus. Would you come this morning? We're going to play two verses. And if you don't come, you close that opportunity. But I'm going to say something to you this morning. Please don't go away from here today. Because God had appointed for you to be here this morning. I pray every service, those in the choir and Becky and Hoot, leads the singing all the way back on both sides. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about him. He loved you. He gave his son, and he wants us to live for him. Would you come? Let's stand together.